Hello, everyone, and welcome to another amazingly fantastic night of Fandom Excess. I, as always, am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, really quick show tonight. We've got Westworld, and the girls are going to talk about Killing Eve. And that's it, folks, until we have something new to talk about, which I could be mistaken, but the next thing I'm aware of is we'll be adding the 100 May 20th, I think. Oh my god, look at that. They both showed up at the same time.
Hello. Happy Fandom Access.
Good evening, ladies.
Yes. I hope you guys had
both showed up.
Good Easter weekend.
You guys both showed up on the switchboard at the same exact moment.
Oh, we're in tune tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Easter
right.
weekend was nice. I hope you had a good one too, Jamie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Except I think I ate too much candy,
but other than that,
Did Easter Bunny get to your house, AJ?
Yes. He made it here successfully.
That's good.
I just can't wait till Damon's old enough that Easter Bunny doesn't have to show up anymore.
Oh, you sound like a curmudgeon. The Easter Bunny is an essential job.
I sound like the parent of three children.
Yeah,
And one of them will be 18 in 2 months. So.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. She's going to be 18? Wow, I can't believe it.
Yes.
I know. That makes me feel old.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then soon she'll start saying she doesn't want to do what you tell her anymore because she's 18 and she's a grown up.
Doesn't do what you tell her now.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Teenager's been saying that for a long time, I guess. Oh, boy. Yeah, you know what, AJ? You're making me feel better about being locked down in my house by myself.
That's funny.
When I think
right.
I'm lonely, I'll think, at least I don't have a bunch of teenagers I have to tell what to do.
I guess that's a good one.
Yep.
All right.
And I control my remote control. So.
All right. You want to start with Killing Eve?
We were all locked down this week. We're locked down with almost nothing on TV.
It's true.
But Killing Eve was back. What a strange episode. Well,
what did you see?
It had a very unexpected ending of this episode for sure. But for the whole, 57 minutes leading up to that, it was kind of interesting to see Villanelle and Eve's storylines be so totally, not connected in any way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And both denying, they're kind of like people who broke up and are like, oh, I don't care about her anymore. I'm not thinking about her. I'm not interested in her. And, of course, we know they're both still totally, obsessed with each other, in love with each other, whatever you want to call it, right?
Although Eve, Villanelle, though, I think, thinks they did break up. I'm not sure if she's really with it or not.
Well, yeah, when you shoot someone, I guess you kind of broke up. It was pretty good. It was interesting to get another whole chunk of Villanelle's backstory. There are so many holes and interesting parts to her backstory, and we learned this whole kind of new thing with her colleague, mentor, whoever Dasha is, the gymnast, who apparently has known Villanelle for a really long time. That was kind of interesting to see that, right? And to see where Eve's life is right now is kind of sad, but kind of expecting. What do you think?
I can kind of understand it, though. Well, I can kind of understand her right now being like, not coming back. She probably quit a long time ago. I was going to say also the whole thing with Nico. I don't know how I feel like that about that. I kind of feel bad for them, but at the same time, he kind of does deserve better, but at the same time, I don't know that that was, like, really the most interesting part of the show. So the fact that they're kind of separated doesn't really bother me, I guess.
Where do you think Nico is? Where do you think he's living?
I took it as, like, a mental institution or something like that. That's what I
think. Yeah, he's in, like a psych ward or something.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't really explain. But I think he's done with Eve for right now. I also kind of think, like I said, I think that Eve moving on was kind of a good thing, I guess. Obviously, I don't think she can stay there, and I don't think, as the spoilers say, I don't think she's going to be happy there for long. But it was nice to get some backstory on Villanelle, get to learn a little bit more. And obviously, she's interested in having more of a leadership role what she does, which may or may not go the way she wants it to. It was nice kind of seeing that. And I thought it was funny how she, I don't want to say recreated the other one's death, but the way she, powder or whatever it was.
Poured the
kind of like,
saffron in
better.
That lady's mouth,
The only thing, though, I was kind of not sure about at the beginning was if the wedding, if that was really supposed to be, she's crazy, so I don't necessarily believe that she was in love with that woman or anything. But was that supposed to be part of because she was going after somebody, or was that just because of what she was doing? I can't remember. Maybe I'm forgetting there was a death there, but the only thing I'm remembering is her going after Dasha,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was all boy or what.
It was never clear. It was not clear to me whether she fell in love and was moving on with this woman, or whether it was part of a job, because she goes after Dasha at the end. I'm not sure if Dasha, I guess I kind of thought Dasha showed up to recruit her back, but you don't know if that was a job or not. I don't know what that was.
Well, at least I felt you felt the same way I did then. Then the other thing is, we see that right now Carolyn isn't, I don't want to say necessarily she's been demoted, but I guess she kind of has a little bit. They got a guy watching her, and she's, not running MI6 at the moment. But she does she see – I'm not sure if that happened yet. I'm trying to be careful. I've seen quite a few.
No, she it ends with Kenny being killed.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that. I just
we don't see – we haven't seen any, reaction, right? We don't know Carolyn's reaction.
Right, right. Oh, definitely. Yeah, I just wanted to make, I was going to say something about something else that didn't happen. It wasn't super important, I did not like the ending in the sense that I really didn't like they killed Kenny. And granted, we don't see his per se that he's dead, but I think, after what happened.
I think he's pretty much freaking dead.
You can't really come back from that, at least unless it's sci-fi. Obviously, I assume somebody was involved. We don't really know what happened yet or what happened at all. But, Eve finds him. I kind of, in a way, feel bad for Eve, too, though, because it just seems like sometimes a lot of shit happens to her. Not that it happened to her, but you know what I mean, that I think it's going to be hard on her. But I have to say, of course it's funny, but I don't know. I mean, I felt bad, but the first thing I thought, and I think probably a lot of people thought, is the first thing I thought when I saw him, they killed Kenny. I was thinking about South Park, and I'm like, no, they killed Kenny. So I didn't like that they killed Kenny. I like Kenny. I don't know. I think that it was cool that they kind of had him, there with Eve and her, have somebody to talk to that wasn't necessarily at work, because neither of them were working there. And I liked that, and I really thought that he was going to be, a continuing part of it until that happened. So, interesting choice, and we'll see where that goes, I guess. It was definitely different because they weren't together, really.
Really, so much of this episode, I think, was to show how Eve has really lost everything.
Right.
She loved that job. She felt really alive in that job. I agree with you. I understand why she's not going back. She lost Villanelle in this way that they had this weird relationship. She lost everything. She's lost Nico. She's lost it all. And I guess losing Kenny.
Almost fatally shot. So
yeah. And then, And then, you know, all she had really left from her life was Kenny, and now she's lost Kenny. And I guess so. It's always audacious when a show kills off a major character in episode one of the season. But I guess this is going to be the thing that brings Eve back in. I guess Kenny was poking around in some story he shouldn't have been poking around in, right? The research he was doing, and so someone has murdered him, and I guess that's going to be the thing that brings Eve back into the agency, or just into her own, you know, investigation or whatever, right?
Working, yeah. I couldn't remember if they had said it in this point or not, but I'm looking at TV Line, so I don't go too far on my recap. But they had said where he worked. He was working at like a newspaper or a magazine or something like that. I think it was a newspaper.
Well, an online newspaper, an online magazine,
He said something about it being an online site. I forget what it was. Something he said that was funny,
well,
I remember, struck me when he said
because
something
his
about
mother,
his
mother, the gigantic bitch who treats him like shit all the time, who's a horrible mother, like, keeps calling it a website. And he's like, it's an online magazine, Mom. Like, she's denigrating it, right?
That's
because
what
she's a horrible person. And he's like, no,
but,
it's an online magazine. And he was definitely onto something, right?
Yeah, she kind of never gave him credit that he deserved. I mean, I don't know that maybe she didn't think he did, but she definitely never, to him, gives him the credit, you know, for maybe for
she's
what he did.
She's treated
him
like shit for the
around.
Entirety of the show. Like, she's never shown, like, any part of being a supportive or a nice mother to me. To me, I find her to be a horrible, horrible mother.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, I think she did love him and maybe feel that way. I think she wasn't a good person at showing. Not that that made her an okay mother. I'm just saying that was kind of my take on it more than anything.
I mean, horrible mothers love their say they love their children, right? She's just, So I guess she'll have to actually show some emotion maybe, right? This is a woman who also shows, like, no emotion ever. So, and she's in a bad, I'm interested to see, like, how she... It's funny because they set it up. I thought, like, a big part of the season is going to be her, like, battling to get her job back or undermining this guy who's her new boss or whatever. And now, like, something so much bigger has happened to her than losing your job, you know?
Yeah, and we're going to see how she reacts to that, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's not really a lot I can say with that. I'm trying to think if there's anything I can say to tease without spoiling, but I'm just trying to be careful what I do say. But there's some good stuff coming up. The one thing I do like about this show, I mean, there's a lot of things I like about the show, but one of the things I really like about the show is kind of it's a dark comedy because it's obviously got a lot of serious stuff that it tackles, but it's a lot of times done in a funny way, and even the things that shouldn't be funny are still funny. There's some good moments coming up soon, but we'll definitely kind of see what Kenny was doing and that kind of thing. Coming up and everybody's reaction to it. So, all right.
All right.
Well, I think that's about all
that leaves
I have
us
to say about that.
Season premieres are usually a setup episode that you have to sort of wait for the payoff.
Right.
So that leaves us just with Westworld to talk about.
Right.
Unless there's anything else you want to, before we talk about that.
Oh, I do want to mention, before I forget, because I probably will forget to mention it otherwise, which is why I didn't get to see the end of the Westworld. I didn't realize it was going to take me so long to put the interview up. I just put up the Dispatches from Elsewhere interview with Charisse Booth, who plays Lee, which had ended up later than it was supposed to anyway, because I don't know how many people know, I had tweeted about it, but I had to move the interview because I was getting a migraine that day, and I was just like, there's no way I can talk to her and make sense. So I had to move that. But it's up now. So that was kind of what I was doing this evening. But that's that. And then we can talk, if you want, about the Doctor Who thing after, but why don't we move on to Westworld, and I'll at least tell what I thought so far. I'd prefer not to be spoiled on the rest of it because I do want to see the end. I will quickly tell people what happened and why it made no sense to me at the beginning. I turned it on, and I couldn't understand why there was double voice because it sounded like somebody was speaking in sort of Spanish, which I guess was Portuguese, which I think is pretty close to Spanish. But anyway, I could hear somebody speaking in the background and then like a louder Spanish voice over top of them, and I couldn't figure out what the heck. I'm like, that doesn't seem right. And because it had subtitles on only part of it, and then part of it was like, you know, didn't have the subtitles, like it was in English. And I kind of wondered, and I fast-forwarded, and Dolores was talking in Spanish, too, and I'm like, what the hell? I don't know what happened, that if it's my DVR or what it is, but it somehow recorded it in Spanish because it recorded on the regular HBO, not the Spanish HBO, so I don't know. But I had to switch to on-demand and then started watching. I'm like, okay, that makes slightly more sense now because I was having trouble reading all of it because it's like double captions and the captions from the show and what they said, and the real captions were a little different than the subtitle captions, and I was getting lost. So it made more sense.
You recorded it in Spanish somehow.
Yeah. But I started watching it in the majority of it in English. I know some of it still wasn't because it was in French too. But I've said before, I don't like Dolores' storyline as much as the rest of it. And I do have to say I don't like it as much this year. I don't know if it's that I miss the park or just kind of the mystery about it. I feel like it doesn't have as much, I don't want to say science fiction. I mean, it's still science fiction, but it doesn't have as much of, like, the weird stuff going on, you know? And that's how I feel, and I just didn't like it as much. But I thought the thing of after he got drugged and everything was, like, in black and white and funky music, I didn't get the point of that. I mean, I guess it was to be different, but I thought it was kind of dumb. But, again, I didn't get through the whole episode. I only got to where they were during the car chase and she sent the unmanned motorcycle to run into the other car. That was where I stopped. So I didn't get really far in it to know a whole lot about it. But so far, I wasn't super impressed. But at least when it was in English, it seemed a little better. So what did you think?
Well, I mean, I think AJ, are you there, AJ? Have you tuned back in?
Yeah, I was going to say, he's seen it too. I don't know where he went. Oh, well, you talk. He'll be back by then.
I guess I'll commit. So you may not have seen your whole way through Caleb's drug trip. So the drug, and that's the drug that they were taking at the party in last week's episode, that they kidnapped Liam from that party he was at, remember? Liam's friends were taking drugs, and he refused to take the drugs, right? So the drug is called Genre. And you experience your trip in different genres. So the part in the black and white, that early part of it, we were seeing him have sort of this like 1940s film noir kind of genre experience, what was going on, I think. And then he also goes on to, so that, and they were playing that music, right? They start playing Ride of the Valkyrie, which is like, did you see that part? So he's having this like sort of, the next genre is like opera, and then they start playing the theme to Love Story, and he starts like, so he experiences like several genres. That was actually my least favorite part of the,
I think he might have been heading into that, because it got all colored, and he looked like he was like, ooh.
Yeah.
That might have been where we were. It might have been better than if I had watched further.
Yeah. And I don't know if you're going to, step away, Jamie, for a minute so we can talk about the end of it. I don't know how you felt, AJ. That was my least favorite part of the episode because I felt like the music was a little bit too on the nose and it was a little bit too, it was a little distracting. Like, Aaron Paul did some good acting in that sequence, but it was kind of an unnecessary, like, it doesn't pay off in any way except that we just see him have these several genres. He doesn't like end up taking any action based on what he's experiencing with the drugs or whatever. I just felt it was a little bit distracting and like a little too on the nose as he goes through those five genres. I don't know. Maybe other people felt differently about it.
I liked it.
Like, can we get through?
I thought it.
You did? See?
Let me go off before you guys give any big spoilers, but go ahead.
I loved it. I was having a blast with it. I was like, oh, cool, Ride of the Valkyries, you know? And then, it's funny because, the music has always been a big thing with this show because they've done, kind of covers of popular songs, which I haven't really been paying attention to since season one.
Later in this episode.
I pretty much caught everything in this episode, which I won't mention because I know Jamie hasn't gotten to that point. But I like the whole drug trip thing. I think it just, I don't know, it was just, for me, it was fun. Like, this was just a really fun episode, which is something, it was not our typical Westworld type of episode. I mean, it was something we don't usually get from them, you know? I mean, it was just one of those action-packed, you know, I mean, there was one point, was she there yet?
You know what? I'll go off so you guys can talk. I don't want to mess you guys up. I apologize I didn't get done, but I wanted to at least call in,
that's
but
okay.
We're skipping it again. I didn't know it
would
take
course,
long,
yeah.
But I'm going to go watch the end. And you can explain, too, if you want, about the Doctor Who thing. I did tweet about Saturday. I think it's Saturday. Saturday or Sunday. Don't quote me on that. But
okay.
You can talk about that after. So, sorry. Talk about Westworld. Have fun. I'll watch
okay.
the end, and hopefully I'll enjoy it once I see where it's going. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Good night,
guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. So, yeah. So, then they started playing Space Oddity, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yes,
I was like, they're just having a blast with this episode. And
that was great. And they played
point,
that in the piano.
Yeah.
That
and
was,
I thought that
yeah.
was great when the other two actors, they came in to help out, and I was like, oh, my God. I was like, she's putting together quite the nice little group of, you know, kind of like got herself a little squad going. And you know what struck me as hilarious? And I don't know if you noticed this too, but the four of them are all dressed pretty nice. And then you've got
mm-hmm.
Liam, who looks like a scrub off the street.
Liam? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
which is funny
because
he's usually pretty well dressed.
Well, he was in a tux when they kidnapped him, and they threw that T-shirt on him.
Well,
I guess, right?
Yeah, I know. I just thought it was just a funny visual seeing the other four look like badasses, and he looked like some bum they picked up in a shopping cart.
And I do love Dolores' costumes this season. I mean, her clothes are so, like all the costumes are so architectural and so, you know, and almost everybody wears black all the time. So Charlotte being one who maybe doesn't, but Dolores has only worn black every. I noticed in a later scene, after everyone's loop is revealed to them, and we should talk about that. Every single person in all those scenes is wearing black, which was amazing. I mean, so the major part of this episode. All of that, like, I mean, the shootout was fantastic, right? Driving around in those, like, self-driving Ubers, that was an amazing shootout, especially considering how much of it was CGI, right? But the major part of this episode was, like, a huge amount of backstory on, I cannot, the French guy, they gave him such a difficult name to pronounce and remember. Sarek.
Sarek.
We got all of Sarek's backstory. Not all of it, but apparently Paris was bombed and nuked and annihilated or something. And we're in the future at a point where there seems to have been like some weather events. And we see those flashbacks, right? And we kind of see what motivated him. And I think we got his whole backstory. And I really felt like a conversation that something that you have said to me very often in many shows that we watch, you always say to me, listen, the bad guy always thinks he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And this show, the pendulum swung this week to look like Dolores is the good guy and Sarek is the bad guy. This week, right?
That was definitely something I wanted to ask you about.
I mean, that's what I felt about it. Did you? It hasn't been clear if Dolores
was
good or bad.
That's kind of what I wanted to ask you was, you know, how you felt about the fact that, you know, we've been saying all along that it's kind of like Dolores is, you know, like this is one of the, you know, it's hard to decipher who, you know, it kind of reminds me of Continuum in that way. Where the bad guys aren't really bad, it's their methods that are the problem, you know? So in this case, though, it was kind of like, you know, this whole time it's like Dolores is kind of going off the edge. But when she released, you know, this episode, you're right, it definitely swings the pendulum because she releases all that info and says, look what these people have been doing to you, you know? And you know, what does a revolution look like, you know?
Well, I mean, I think her motivation has changed because I feel like, you know, at the end of last season and the beginning of this season, Dolores's, like, sort of stated intention was maybe to, like, destroy humanity, right? Like, she was going to, like, she was, like, going to end their world, whatever that means. She was going to end our world and take over because humans are so horrible. And, you know, she was going to create a new world for the robots to rule. And she meets Caleb and he changes her mind a little bit. But in this episode, it seemed like, you know, she was, I mean, she was freeing humans from their loops, just like she freed the hosts from their loops. And it seems to me that she's no longer talking about, like, destroying the world, although she kind of really has destroyed the humans' world. She's just doing them a favor now, right? Like, she's still destroyed the way the world, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
but
I know exactly
she's destroyed the world, but she's destroyed the way Serac had. I mean, I feel like Serac's a really bad guy. Like, okay, he might think he's good, but he wants to control everyone and everything. I mean, he wants to take away everybody's free will, right? Which doesn't, what does that make us? That just makes us robots on a loop, right?
Exactly.
Of course, I feel a little bit like, so Dolores now is freeing the humans from their loops, just like she freed the robots from the loops. So is Dolores in a loop? Is this Dolores' loop to be the liberator?
That's kind of funny.
I don't know.
You know, it's one of those situations where, you know, I could totally see Serac at some point. You know, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen because we see he's definitely afraid of her. But I could, it's one of those things where she could be like, haha, I beat you. And he's like, yeah, but think about everything you've done. Was that free will or were you programmed to be like this? You know what I mean? It's that type of, what you're saying there. It's definitely an interesting take. I mean, clearly she had the notion to end this to begin with. Now, did Caleb not being like everybody else and being a better human kind of change her narrative as far as how she was going to go about it? You know, was her idea to, you know, reveal that everybody's in a loop and end the loop, but do it in a more sinister way, but because of Caleb, it's kind of more of a revolution type thing?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably because of Caleb. It's probably because she found out about Rehoboam. I can't say it right. Rehoboam. The system that Serac built. It was like once she found out that it was there and that it was controlling everything, she had to, you know, that it's basically the cradle in a sense, but she felt that she wanted to destroy it, right? But, like, Dolores didn't know it existed until she had been roaming around the outside world for a little while. Like, she figured out what was going on.
Right.
And, I mean, I guess she has a soft spot for, like, people that are being controlled. And, like, she saw that the humans are really just the same, right?
Yeah.
They're being controlled. And so what do you think was going on when grown-up Serac brother create the system, and then there's that scene where Liam's father comes into the headquarters and he sees that Serac's got all these people in these little rooms. It's like some kind of a lab or a hospital or a whatever it is, including his brother. And he was trying to, like, reprogram them or something. Like, it reminded me kind of seeing the Elder Delos in the lab also, right? But like, I'm not really sure what he was trying to do to them. Like they're not, he can't really reprogram them like robots, but it was just so similar to all those rooms in Westworld where there were all those glass rooms with all those robots in there and the technicians reprogramming them all the time, right? I mean, that was clearly intentional, right?
I think this was kind of the beginning of the, you know, this is,
beginning stages, he started with humans, and then, you know, I think it went from there. It was just, and it was definitely an intentional parallel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, visually, that was intentional for us to see that and to, yeah, it was pretty, I mean, I feel like he's a really bad guy. Like, I feel like, okay, you want to stop the end of the world, but taking away humanity's free will and this idea that, like, okay, everybody sees their everybody on their gets their case file on their phone and it says, like, oh, you are not very smart and you have, like, some bad genetic whatever, so you're not authorized to have children or get married or whatever, and you're going to, but, you know, this idea that you, like, that he could predict it, but is it self-fulfilling? Like, if you put a person on that, like, if you put a person on that path, then of course they're not gonna, like,
right.
Because he goes out of his way to prevent them. It's not just that, it's not like I can see the future and I predict that Karen is never going to be able to get married or have kids because she's, you know, a loser person, but the system, like, goes out of its way to prevent me from meeting people, or the way that Caleb was prevented from getting a job, not because he never qualified, but because the system was like, we're not getting a job because he's not worth it, right? It just presupposes that no one can ever rise above their station, which is kind of like, I mean, it certainly was what the American dream was based on, that anyone can, you know, can rise above his circumstances, and anyone can, you know, I think Dolores makes a statement where she says it's not what you are, it's what the system decided for you, I think she says, or something like that, right?
Right.
It's taking action to put you there.
I feel
like he's really, after, yeah.
Yeah, finish your thought.
No, I was going to say, after this episode, I kind of feel like he's the bad guy. He's the heavy of the season.
Yeah. What I was going to say was, it's kind of like, you know how we complain about TV shows where, like Manifest, where
mm-hmm.
something is done that makes no sense just to further the story. That's kind of like what this system is doing. It's telling, you know, it's making decisions to kind of steer you in a certain way that you wouldn't normally
yeah.
have steered.
Mm-hmm. Right. But then it's self-fulfilling. Like, you would never do that, but it makes you do something that's going to be a bad outcome for you because the
right.
writers, in this case, Surak, decided that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Dolores has just, like, changed everything there. I had another question about... Oh, so we got to see a whole bunch... So in the scene where Liam is dying, right? Lena Waite, who was awesome, Lena Waite, and I forget the guy, the name of the... So the two criminals that I guess Dolores has
right,
used
yeah.
this app, which I think they call Rico or whatever, right? Which to me is a really interesting part of the show because Surak has life so controlled, and yet there's an app that exists for people to supposedly randomly meet up and commit crimes, right? So
yeah.
is this a bunch of outliers? It doesn't seem possible. Like, is it something that Surak has worked into the system that that this app should exist and people should commit crime? Because it just seems to me, like, not possible that the system would overlook this totally, like, organized. And it's an app, right?
Dolores
has used
it.
The
amount of outliers that there are, when you take into account the amount of people in the entire world, there's not really that,
yeah.
you know, for them to have this little group
yeah.
isn't that unbelievable.
I mean, I guess because it's an app and it seems like all computers can talk to each other, that it surprises me that Rehoboam wouldn't know that this app exists and that it tolerated. And then that the people that Dolores calls, who are supposedly random people to come and help her, turn out to be these two characters we've seen before, but I don't know, maybe she purposely tried to call people that Caleb knew. I don't know. Anyway, she shoots Liam. And then Caleb sort of has this really, like, meaningful experience and a lot of memories at the moment Liam is dying, which was kind of interesting memories. Like, he was sort of rehashing when his friend died, right? But it seems to me like there's so much more buried in there that we don't know about and that Caleb doesn't know about.
Yeah. I definitely feel like there's definitely more there.
Right? Do you feel like there's some suppressed memories that even he doesn't know what they mean?
Yeah. And I felt like, didn't Caleb or Liam, did he say it was you? Is that what he was saying as he was dying?
Yes. It was you. That's what it sounded like.
I'm wondering if he killed his friend.
That's what I thought. Maybe his friend didn't commit suicide. Maybe he killed his friend.
His friend died in action. He didn't kill himself.
His friend died in action.
He died in his arm on the last mission. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But maybe, Caleb killed him.
Because clearly that soldier program they were in, they were being controlled, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Right, yeah. And, like, not that he killed him accidentally. Like, maybe he killed him on purpose because he was made to do it, right? And it's either been wiped from his memory or, I'm still not convinced that he's not. I mean, I don't believe he's a robot, but I'm not convinced that he's not got some technology in his body somewhere to.
Right.
Well, he has that implant in the roof of his mouth or whatever, right? And some other stuff. Like there's so much more to him than we know. So I'm trying to think. That was kind of the end of it, right? I'm trying to think how it... Oh, so then Dolores... The version of Dolores who is masquerading as the gray-haired Scottish guy who... is Sorax, who was Liam's security guy, Delos, sacrifices himself to blow up the office. We're down one Dolores. Which was kind of interesting to me. Like all these Doloreses, I feel like are not really like pure copies of Dolores because like this one didn't have like a self, you know, I mean, this one was willing to, much like Angela, sacrificed himself to further the cause. I know what was interesting there. They let Bernard go and someone who says it, you're the only one we can't replace, right? Scottish guy version of Dolores says to Bernard, you're the only one we can't replace.
Yep.
Because all the rest of them are versions of Dolores. They're all Dolores, right? She can just make a new version of herself, I guess. You're the only one we can't replace. So, and even Bernard realizes, like, I think she has plans for me. I think I have a part to play in this. I have no idea where that could be going. Do you have any guess what could be going on there?
No, I have not an inkling. The only thing I figured, okay, even before he says it himself, I was like, all right, clearly there's something more with Bernard that he's not aware of himself. I mean, you know, actually, I wonder, this is just coming to me now, talking to you, and this is way off the deep end. Perhaps Bernard is like a safety net. Like, when Dolores has accomplished everything and it's all said and done, I wonder if Bernard's job is to stop Dolores. Like, when everything's all said and done, she succeeded on everything she wanted, and then there's nothing more for her to do. So, now what? You know? I wonder if Bernard's goal, you know, mission, what his objective is, the point of him, is to stop her. Or, like, take her out once she's accomplished
everything.
Like, kill
her or deactivate her or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, because she won't be able to
stop herself. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, he has been worried about this because, like, in the first episode, we saw Bernard running diagnostics on himself to see if Dolores had changed his code at all. He's well aware that Dolores like brought his pearl out and created him, and could have possibly changed him. So, I mean, he's been sort of worried about this for a while. Yeah, I have no idea. And he hasn't really been able to do that much this season. So with only 3 episodes left, I hope we'll get to see him.
I know. I can't believe it's only 3 episodes left. It's gone by really fast.
I know. It has. It's gone by really fast. And we haven't really gotten to see Maeve do much of anything either. And you know, Throck wants Maeve to stop Dolores. And Maeve doesn't really want... The only reason Maeve is doing it is because Throck has this, like, off switch that he's threatening Maeve with, right? Like,
yeah.
She has no, like, real interest in stopping Dolores except that he's told her to. And because maybe the show wants to build up to, like, a Dolores-Maeve fight. But with Dolores possibly changing her tune and moving to, like, free humans from their shackles, you know, I could see, I mean, that is a mission that resonates with Maeve. I mean, Maeve really never tried to free the robots, but she definitely struggled against her loop, right? Like, I think she could see it as a noble thing.
Well, Maeve is the one that led them all to the Promised Land, so.
She did, yeah. She did. Yeah, she has no real interest in. I mean, I could see her teaming up with Dolores to stop Sirach.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they play out against each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I feel like I just haven't... It's gone so fast. I feel like it feels so close to over, and I don't even know how it could get there.
Yeah.
I really want 10 episodes.
I just
want to see more of it.
Say the same thing.
Yeah,
they cheated us.
Like, I'm not getting to see as much of. I mean, this is definitely Dolores' season, and we're seeing most of her. And you know, multiple episodes going by with no Maeve in it, and almost no William. So yeah, I'd like to see more, but And she's got this,
there was
you
one
know.
Other thing. Each scene, it took me a second, but I was like, I heard that, you know, the music they were playing, the beach scene, and I'm like, I know this music. Where I know it from? That was the theme song from The Shining.
Was it really?
Yep.
It was the theme from The Shining.
It took me a second to get it.
So that's a really interesting choice of music, and like, what does that mean? For them to choose it, right? Like, did they pick that just because they like it? Or is there something, should we be drawing something from The Shining here?
Probably because they like it.
Or is it, yeah, just because they like it. Just like they threw a dragon from Game of Thrones in, is it just a shout out to something they love?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. I didn't catch that at all, but I've only seen that movie once. So that's why. So there was a promo for next week, which was just kind of crazy town with everyone in it, right? Maeve's in it, William's in it, Dolores is in it, everyone's in it. So no idea what that might be about. Look, HBO promos never show you anything anyway.
And if they do, it makes no sense anyway.
No, and I can't even predict what would happen next week as far as where it's going. Like, Dolores' plan is so big picture, I can't even imagine, like, what the next part of her plan is.
Right.
Right? Like, I think a lot of people, on a lot of shows, somebody would not have thought past, like, I'm going to give everybody everybody's going to see their permanent record, and they're all going to go nuts, and, you know, things are going to be crazy, but I know she's thought beyond it, right? Like, she didn't steal all of Liam's money just to undermine him. Like, she needs all that money for whatever her plan is.
Right.
I mean, she did take the money to sort of, like, co-opt him into doing what she wanted, but she needs that money. She has plans for that money. She has, like, bigger plans. Well, she wants to destroy that machine somehow, right? Dolores is not going to be happy until that machine blows up. So I think she definitely has plans moving in that direction. And I guess, you know, now that we're talking about this, like, do we expect this to be resolved in 3 episodes, or is there a season – is this a story that needs season 4 to be finished?
Well, there's obviously going to be a season 4 because I haven't heard anything about this being the last season.
No, I haven't either. Although you never hear anything about it being renewed. Like, every season is the last season. When they start – like, wasn't this always supposed to be a limited – these shows now are supposed to be a limited series, and then every – they want you to feel like every season is a gift that almost didn't happen, right? But I haven't heard anything about being the last – right? No, they're like a limited series, and then it gets renewed and renewed and renewed, and we just never know. But I think you're right. I haven't heard about it being the last, and I just think there's more – this is not a story that gets wrapped up in 3 episodes, I don't think. I mean, it could happen, but doubtful. Yeah. So, anything else happened this week? That's most of it, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I don't
All
think
right.
there's anything else.
We can,
I think that's
we can
it.
Wrap that up. All right.
Short show. We'll do it again next week with another short show.
Yep. So
maybe
before
we add another show.
Yeah. I would. The only thing to mention is that Jamie and I today both did a live tweet for Doctor Who. They've been doing a couple. So there's a hashtag on Twitter like Doctor Who Lockdown. Doctor Who Lockdown? Yeah. So they've been doing like some rewatches of some landmark, some really great episodes with some of the creators of Doctor Who, like on live tweeting. So today they did an episode called, what was that episode called? Heaven Sent, which is like an amazing, amazing episode of Doctor Who with the Peter Capaldi 12th Doctor. Today is Peter Capaldi's birthday. And they're doing another one on either Saturday or Sunday this weekend. So you can like, everybody in the whole world like gets on Netflix or Amazon or whatever, and everybody at 3 o'clock, whatever time, we all click start, we all watch it together, and people live tweet it. And so Stephen Moffat and some of the writers and effects people were like live tweeting and saying, in this scene, this is how we did the special effect. In this scene, this is what we said in the script and whatever. And so since we're all, you know, the whole world is locked down together, it's kind of a fun thing to do around the world. So if anybody's a Doctor Who fan, check out the hashtag Doctor Who Lockdown and follow along, and you can do that this weekend.
Sounds
kind of fun today. I don't know what episode, I forget what episode they're doing this weekend. They did a Rory and Amy episode last week, I think. Oh, this is a David Tennant. I know they're doing a David Tennant episode this weekend, but I don't know which one. So anyway, that's a lockdown thing. My big thing, I told you, I think I texted you, I'm going to try to watch Battlestar Galactica starting next week. There's a marathon like all day Monday and Tuesday on Sci-Fi Channel, I think, and I'm not going to watch TV for 48 hours. I set my DVR to record it because Battlestar Galactica is not free on Amazon or anything. You got to pay for it. So I just set my DVR to record it. I'm going to try to like bang it as long as I'm locked down. Battlestar Galactica is a show I never watched. I don't know if you ever watched it. I don't think you did. Did you, AJ?
Not the original. I did not see the remake.
I loved the original when I was a kid. Kind of bad now when I watch it. But no, I've never watched the remake of Battlestar Galactica, and I feel like it is a big hole in my – it's a hole in my sci-fi filmology of things I should have seen, right? So I'm going to binge that in the coming couple of weeks. That's my project. In between – you know, I mean, I'm supposed to have real projects and do work or whatever, but in between, that's my project. So, we have no new shows coming for a couple weeks yet, right? Still nothing new, really. So,
right. The next thing is May 20th, which is the 100.
I know, and that's a whole month away. So,
yeah,
we're going to have a gap, I think, between Westworld. But anyway, we'll figure that out. In the meantime, we still have Westworld.
Yep.
And a couple other things.
All right.
All right.
Well, pleasure as always, and do it again next week.
Yep. Great talking to you. Take care. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody,
for listening.
Thank you, everybody, for
listening. You have nothing else to do anyway. Can't go anywhere. You have to listen to her,
right.
Whether you want to or not.
Great.
All right.
Okay.
Have a great week, everyone. Good night.
Bye-bye.